Amen. Well, good to see you. Brother Rawls, I wish you would sing like you mean it, man. That was wonderful. Amen. Love that. Love that. Love that. Boy, every one of you ought to remember where you were. It ought to choke you up to think that God would save you. Amen. Every one of us. They ain't one of us deserve anything except death and hell. Thank God for Jesus. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank the Lord for your church and what the Lord's doing here. And I just want to say this much. It's good to go to a church that you know is continuing to stand. I go to a lot of churches that are getting watered down. They're turning away from truth. They're changing to the world's philosophy and not God's theology. And it's just good to feel at home somewhere where people believe exactly what you believe. Amen. And what we believe is this book. And we're not going to change it. Amen. Thank God for that. Thank you, Brother Meyer, again, for the privilege to be here. And I appreciate your preacher. And again, a lot of years we've been coming here. Thank the Lord for it. And again, there's a lot of churches that I don't go back to anymore. And they won't have me back anymore. But anyway, I thank the Lord for your church. There is a table set up with Bibles out there. We have a few of them left. We don't have a lot of them, but we got some good study Bibles. I've got a Thompson Chain reference. I got a open Bible. If you've never seen that before, it's a really neat Bible, good study Bible. There's a Spurgeon study Bible back there. It's got Spurgeon's handwritten notes in it and things, and it's just some different study Bibles that we have, and then a couple others. So if you're interested, we'll be back there afterwards. But grab your Bible, if you would, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just going to read a couple verses to you this morning. And really, I'm just going to bare my heart about something that, sad to say, it's a subject that I have not preached, I don't think, enough on through the years. Man, we're good at preaching hard on sin. Amen. And I like doing that. We're good at preaching about the devil, and we're good on preaching on hell, and all those things we've got to do. That's all part of the scriptures. But one of the things that I have failed to preach as much on as I should is to preach on heaven. And I just want to preach for a few moments this morning on heaven. Amen. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as we look in verse number 9, boy, I love these verses. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Boy, what a powerful verse. Follows it up with, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I think about how often, even though we don't preach about it probably as much as we should, how often we stop to think about heaven. Boy, I tell you what, if you don't stop and think about heaven a lot, you can lose focus real quick. I mean, you can start looking, I mean, everything can become depressing and everything. You know, it's like the old preacher used to say, man, you can take a lot with you on the journey as long as you know where you're going, where the destination is. Amen. And if we keep our sights focused on heaven, it sure helps this journey to go a whole lot smoother. Amen. So I just want to speak for just a few moments on this simple little thought. Seven reasons, biblical reasons, why I'm looking forward to heaven. Seven biblical reasons why I'm looking forward to heaven. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity again to be here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to be an encouragement to your people today. And Father, I pray especially that if there are people here today that do not have the hope of heaven, that God, today they would realize they can have that, and that they would come and give us the opportunity to share the truth with them so that they can leave here today knowing that they're going to go there one day. Thank you for what you tell us in your word, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement you give us from your word to keep us focused on why it is that we live the way we live and do what we do. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the song, Brother Rawls sang. And Lord, thank you. Help us, each and every one, to never lose sight of that day. And God, I just pray that you'd bless the service and and encourage us, and we'll be careful to give you the glory for it, for it's in Christ's name I pray, amen. Now, this is a real simple little message, but hopefully something, again, that'll maybe encourage you a little bit. Walk out of here again, reset, maybe refocused a little bit about heaven. The first reason, everybody's got their own list of reasons about why you're looking forward to heaven, but I would hope this would be on the top of the list for everybody that's going to go to heaven. You'd say, what is that? Number one is, I get to see Jesus. Amen. Man, what a day that's going to be. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen. When we get an opportunity to look upon the face of the one that loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Boy, it's going to be a wonderful day. Let's look at Revelation chapter 22 for just a moment. Revelation chapter 22. And we're going to read some a number of passages out of Revelation this morning. But it says here in Revelation 22 and verse number 1, and he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. It says in verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. Boy, thank God for that. Amen. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And verse number 4 says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Wow, what a day, boy. What a day to see the face of our Savior. I think back, it's hard not to think back of the old hymn writer from years gone by that went blind at 6 weeks of age, and from something that a doctor had prescribed to get an infection out of her eyes, and never was able to see in this life. Lived to be up near 90 years of age, but never was able to see. People say, what can anybody do that's like that? I mean, you talk about a challenged life. Boy, not for this young lady. Boy, she came to know the Lord at a very young age. And even in her blindness, she was able to write over 9,000 hymns. 9,000 hymns. She wrote 2,000 poems. And get this, as a blind person, she memorized about a third of the Old Testament. How much have you and I memorized? Of course, I'm talking about Fanny Crosby. And throughout her life, there were times where people would ask her about life and not being able to see, and you know, the challenge of that. And she said, you know what? She said, one person said, I bet you wish you could see that doctor that did what he did to you. And she said at the end of her life, oh, I wish I could have. I wish I could have met that man, and I wish I could have, not to get after him or to be mean to him, but to thank him for the part that he played in the providence of God in my life for me to be blind throughout my life. They said, well, how could you say such a thing? She said, I don't think I could have ever accomplished what I accomplished had I not been blind. And she said, on top of all that, she said, I'm so thankful that I've been blind all my life. Why? Because the very first face that I'll ever see is the face of my Savior when I see him face to face in heaven. Wow. Man, what a thought. Do we think about him that much? Man, we're going to be with him one day. Amen. I mean, he loved us so much. He shed his precious blood so we could go there and spend eternity with him. Amen. Boy, we ought to keep our mind focused on him, the fact that we'll get to see him. In Revelation chapter 19, and I love these verses, back just a couple chapters here. And it says this, beginning in verse number 11, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Notice what it says in verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven, that's us, amen. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written in all capitals here, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen. And I tell you, I'm looking forward to it, amen. I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven. I'm looking forward to coming back with him on horses, amen. and to conquer. Thank the Lord for Jesus. One of the main reasons I'm looking forward to heaven is because I get to see Jesus. Second reason why I'm looking forward to heaven, excuse my English, the devil ain't gonna be there. Amen. That's about just about as good as being able to see Jesus. Amen. We ain't gonna have to see him. We ain't gonna have to fight with him. We ain't gonna have to deal with him anymore because he ain't gonna be there. Amen. It says in Revelation chapter 20 there, in verse number 10, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. What does that mean, Brother Martin? That means he ain't gonna be there, amen. He doesn't have the privilege to be able to enter into heaven. And the one who's deceived us and fought against us and has been our enemy throughout this lifetime, that's gonna be done with, hallelujah, glory to God. Over in chapter number 21, it says this, in verse number 27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it, speaking of heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That seals it right there. He ain't gonna be there. Amen. His name's not written in the Lamb's book of life. The Bible tells us in John chapter 6 that he is the father of all lies. Amen. He's the great deceiver. He won't step foot in that place. Amen. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for heaven because I'm gonna get to see Jesus one day. Amen. Thank God for heaven because the devil ain't gonna be there. Amen. The third reason why I'm looking forward to heaven is simply this. The things that will be no more. You say the things that will be no more. Yeah, absolutely. Look with me real quick, if you would, over to Revelation 21 again. In the beginning, in verse number 1. Revelation chapter 21 in verse 1. Notice what it says here. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Notice what it says here. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm sure looking forward to that. Man, the day that he wipes all those tears away from our eyes, what a wonder that's going to be. And notice what it says, and there shall be no more death. Boy, glory to God. Just a week and a half ago, my wife and their family buried her brother. I preached his funeral. Well, you talk about a lot of tears, talk about a lot of sorrow as her brother, not that old, all you young people, not that old, 70 years old, not that old, amen. And but he's in heaven today. Amen. We have the opportunity to think about it and look forward to him. But I'm telling you, when death strikes, there's a lot of sorrow, there's a lot of heartache, there's a lot of tears shed. He says there's going to be no more death. You know what that means, Brother Meyer? We ain't got to preach no more funerals. Yeah. Glory to God. That's going to be a wonderful day. Amen. No more death. It goes on to say this. Also, it says, neither sorrow. You know, death is a terrible thing, but you think about our life and you think about all the sorrows that we go through in life. You think about all the heartaches that we go through. And thank God that he promises in his word in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that he's the God of all comfort. Amen. And he does comfort us as we go through the sorrows and the afflictions and the heartaches of this life. But can you imagine a place where we're never going to sorrow again? Man, what a wonder that's going to be. What a wonderful thing that's going to be. It's hard for us to comprehend that and fathom it in our finite minds in this human existence. But it says that there'll be no more tears. It says there'll be no more death. It says neither sorrow, again, nor crying. And then it says neither shall there be any more pain. Glory to God on that one. Amen. What do you mean, man? We ain't going to have to suffer any more pain. How many of you got some pains going on in your body right now? Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that day. I tell people all the time, the older I get, the more I realize how feeble I am. Amen. and the pains and the aches and that the body has when you get older, and you didn't know that you could hurt in some of the places that you hurt when you get older. Amen. And but man, that says no more pain, and that's the physical part, but also the pains of the different things that we deal with in life. How about the pain of dealing with wayward children? How about the pain of dealing with heartaches in the home? What the pain of going through some of the circumstances of life that we have to go through when trials come into our way, and maybe we lose a home, or maybe we things like that come and happen. There's a lot of pain that we deal with and we're associated with, but in heaven there'll be none of that. Man, thank God, no more pain. It says, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that day. And by the way, it tells us there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Let me just read this verse to you. It says, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, what's that about, Brother Martin? No more sin. Yeah. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, I'm so tired of fighting sin, fighting this old flesh and fighting this old body, fighting the sin that's all around us and having to deal with it. But when we get to heaven, all that's done away with. You say, what are you saying, Brother Mark? Man, I am looking forward to heaven. Why? Because of the things that will be no more. Amen. Let me read one more verse to you in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse number 8. It says this, and he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. Man, if God spoke it, you can believe it. Amen. This is what the Bible tells us about heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm sure looking forward to heaven. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is going to be there. Amen. Because the devil ain't going to be there. Amen. Because of the things that won't be anymore. No more death. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more dealing with all of those things. Fourth reason, okay, I'm getting carnal here. Fourth reason why I'm looking forward to heaven, a glorified body. Amen. Man, I'm looking forward to a glorified body. Look back with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Amen. Man, that glorified body, I don't know about you, but I'm sure looking forward to it. It's going to be something that we can't fathom it. We can't picture that we would have a body that doesn't pain, that doesn't sorrow, that doesn't go through all of those heartaches and things. If we look a little bit further over or back a few pages in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I love this, the great resurrection chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we begin reading in verse number 42, it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Just skip down there, if you would, down to verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Thank God. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you what, that's going to be a wonderful day, man. glorified body in the presence of Jesus, the devil gone, banished to the lake of fire forever and ever. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more dealing with all those things. Can you fathom that? Well, somebody ought to be shouting amen, amen. What a wonderful place it's going to be. Fifth reason why I'm looking forward to heaven is the great reunion. What do you mean? I'm going to get to see those that have gone on before. The older I get, the more that are on the other side. Amen. It tells us in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verses 1 through 4, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And you say, who is that great cloud of witnesses? Well, it's all those that have gone on before us. I mean, from the Bible times, from the very beginning all the way through, I'm talking about the ones that we know and love, our friends and family, the cloud of witnesses that's up there cheering us on, trying to get us to continue the race and just keep in the battle and stay strong in faith. And man, I don't know, I'm surely most of all looking forward to seeing Jesus, but there's a list of people that I'm looking forward to seeing after that. Man, I'm looking forward to seeing my mama. I've shared my testimony here before. Lived in a very abusive home life situation. My father was very abusive. Earliest recollections of life are of taking a pillow and trying to drown out the screams of my mom as my dad would beat her. And remember as little children gathering together, even before I got saved, we'd gather together and we would pray and ask God not to let Dad come home. Those same nights I'd walk by my mom's bedroom. We had a one-bedroom house. Dad converted the attic into a bedroom, and all four of us children slept in the attic that was converted. There was one bedroom, there was a bathroom, there was a little tiny living room, and there was a kitchen. That was it. But I walked by Mom's room some of those nights, and she'd be on the edge of the bed with her Bible open, Dad out drinking, knowing he's probably going to come in. And I'd go in, and I'd say, "Mama, what you reading?" And she'd say, "I'm reading my Bible, son." And she'd grab me and say, "Come up here," and she'd set me beside her. Mom only had a seventh grade education. Mom, I'm going to tell you something, she's smarter than a whole lot of Bible scholars today. And she'd start reading those scriptures to me as a little boy. If it wasn't for my mama, I wouldn't be here today. Man, I'm looking forward to seeing my mama. By the way, my dad was saved, and I'm looking forward to seeing my dad, but I'm looking forward to seeing my in-laws. I don't have no in-law jokes, man. I had the greatest mother-in-law and father-in-law in the world, man. I'm telling you, I loved them to death. My mother-in-law passed away last January. My father-in-law passed away 15 years ago, probably. My father-in-law was probably the greatest prayer warrior that we had. When I went and made the decision to step out by faith to go into ministry at 38 years of age, 5 years from retirement, everybody was calling me crazy. Can you imagine what a dad would think about his daughter being married to somebody that steps out with no salary or nothing and five children to go into a ministry? He was the greatest supporter we had. He said, "I know you're going to make it. I can't wait to see what God's going to do." Amen. Man, I'm looking forward to seeing my father-in-law. I'm looking forward to seeing my Uncle Charlie. Who's that? That's the one who was preaching the night I got saved. Amen. At our family reunion, Mom had 11 brothers and sisters in the hills of North Carolina. I mean the hills of North Carolina. You ask my wife. I mean in the sticks and up a holler. Amen. And all the people up the holler were related. Amen. And we'd go there. We'd have our family reunion. Everybody'd come. Half of them couldn't read, period. But they'd get the hymns out or whatever. They'd start singing hymns and playing instruments. They could play all the instruments. They couldn't read a lick of music, but they could play them all. Amen. And they'd get playing. And sooner or later, either my grandpa or my uncle were going to get up. And both of them were preachers. We're going to get up and preach. Boy, I remember that night when God pricked my heart. My uncle was up preaching on it, Isaiah 40:31. Amen. And God pricked my heart as a little 9-year-old boy that I needed Jesus to be able to go to heaven. And I trusted Christ. And man, a weight of the world come off my shoulders that night. And I remember when I got called to go into the ministry and called to preach, I went to my Uncle Charlie. And he was just he was one of those old leather lung, wind-sucking Baptist preachers. Amen. And I went to him and talked to him about it and asked him for counsel. And man, he gave me the greatest counsel I got from anybody about going in the ministry. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I'm looking forward to seeing Peter and Paul. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing Adam and looking forward to seeing Noah. Man, isn't that going to be interesting talking to him? Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing Moses. Amen. And David and those that have gone on before. By the way, I'm looking forward to seeing those that by God's grace, he's given me the privilege to be able to lead to the Lord. Amen. Man, Brother Myers, I was thinking about this, especially in light of bus ministry. How many of you work in the bus ministry in here? Raise your hand if you work in the bus ministry. Look at the hands all across the crowd here. Man, I'm telling you what, there's going to be people in heaven you don't even know are going to be there. It's going to be so wonderful when you get there and see that those little bus kids that you brought in, their mom and dad eventually got saved and you didn't even know about it, but you get to see them in heaven one day. That's going to be a wonderful time. Amen. I'm looking forward to seeing some of those that, I mean, just shirt tail that I've had an opportunity to witness to. And though I didn't lead them to the Lord, they're going to be there. I was thinking of a situation that happened a number of years ago. I was preaching in a little tiny church in Northwest Ohio, and I was a fireman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which it was about 2.5 hours from there where I was preaching. And an older lady came up to me after the service. They had put a little flyer out and gave a little testimony of my life that I was a fireman in Ann Arbor and that now I was a preacher and I was going to be there preaching. This older lady came as a visitor, and after the service she walked up to me and she said, "I saw the brochure, I saw the flyer." She said, "You're the man that was a firefighter in Ann Arbor, Michigan." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Then you probably knew my grandson." And I said, "Who is your grandson?" And she said, "Paul Barnes." Now, that wouldn't mean anything to you, but it mean a lot to me. And Paul was he drove a tower, the tower truck. And we worked shifts 24 on, 48 off. And Paul decided that we all of us had a second job. He decided if I'm going to have a second job, it might as well be something that I'm, the business that I start. So he bought a farm and he started a farm. And we would work, a bunch of us guys would work with him. And during the summertime, we did pickles. And in the fall time, we did pumpkins. And Paul was a great guy. He'd give you the shirt off his back, but Paul was lost. And I would witness to Paul. I remember a lot of times in the fall season, there was just a few of us working there, and me and Paul would jump in a truck and haul pumpkins and deliver them all over Detroit. And I'd witness to him, and I'd say, "Paul, man, you need to get saved." And he says, "Oh, come on, Danny." He said, "Man, you know I'm a good guy." I said, "Paul, I know you're a good guy, but that ain't gonna get you to heaven." "Oh, you know when I get to the gates, Peter's gonna let me in." I said, "No, it ain't about that. It's about the blood of Jesus. You gotta trust Jesus Christ." And every time I witnessed to him, he'd just kind of shrug it off. And so going back to the story, this lady says, "Did you hear what happened to Paul?" And I had heard that an accident had happened. He was doing his neighborly duty, and he was mowing the yard for his next door neighbor lady, an older lady. And he was on a tractor, and it was slick that day, and the tractor slid and flipped and rolled. He fell out of it, rolled on top of him and killed him. And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I did hear about that." And she said, "You know, I wish you could have come to the funeral." And I said, "Ma'am, I wish I could have been there too." And then she said this statement. She said, "It was so sweet." And man, I just kind of took a step back like, "So sweet, man. I know Paul and I knew." And you could tell right away that she looked at me and she says, "Oh, I bet you didn't hear." And I said, "Hear what?" She said, "Paul got saved about 6 months before he died." Man, I tell you, Brother Meyer, yeah, I didn't lead him to the Lord, but I witnessed to him. But man, it sent shivers down my spine. I'm still shivering right now thinking about it. Guess what? I'm going to get to see Paul in one day. Amen. He's going to be there too. I mean, people that we don't even know, just being a faithful witness that are going to be there. Man, what a glorious day that's going to be. Amen. All those that go on before. Number 6, why I'm looking forward to heaven. It's going to be better than you and I can even imagine. we can't even fathom it. I mean, the things, what the Bible is telling us, what we're reading here. I mean, it's hard to realize the realization of those things, but it's going to be even better than that. Amen. As the old saying, it's going to get gooder and gooder and gooder, man. Every day we're there. Amen. If you look back with me to Isaiah chapter 64, this is a like verse to the verse we read at the beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But if you look at Isaiah 64 and notice what it says here in verse number 4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Boy, we can't even fathom what God's prepared for us. And by the way, Jesus is coming back for us. Amen. He told his disciples that he would return, and he's coming back again. I know the world is starting to question all that. They're trying to make us think, oh, that there's no real Jesus. He's not coming back again. Let me tell you and remind you what he said again in John chapter 14 in verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, if Jesus said it, you can believe it. Amen. He's going to come back again. He's going to take us home to be with him in heaven. If you've trusted him as your Savior, it's going to be better than we can imagine. Let me say lastly, man, one of the great reasons why I'm looking forward to heaven is it's eternal. It's eternal. Once we get there, we're never leaving it. Amen. You ain't going to want to leave it. I can tell you that much. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a shame that we only read this passage at funerals, and so many times I think it gets swallowed up in the mourning that goes on at the funeral. But man, these are great verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse number 15, it says this, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud. And by the way, my wife says that's the way we're going. We're going by the upper taker, not the undertaker. Amen. And by the way, I'm believing it more and more as the days go by. It says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What does that mean? That means it's eternal. That means we ain't leaving. Amen. That we're going to go there, and that's going to be a wonderful place. It tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, there'll be no more goodbyes. Glory to God. I don't like goodbyes. Amen. I just like to see you later. Amen. And it tells us in Revelation chapter 10 and verses 4 through 6 that there'll be no more time. Some of you are going to be really thrilled about that one. What's that mean? That means you're never going to be late again. Amen. No more time. Amen. We're not going to work on a time schedule. Everything we do in life seems to be on a time schedule, time schedule, time schedule. Hey, when we get to heaven, that's all done away with. Amen. Well, what a glorious and what a wonderful place it's going to be. There's surely many other reasons that we could mention. I'm sure reasons that you would mention. Hey, I'm looking forward to heaven because at that time, man, my faith is going to become sight. Amen. A hope is going to be fulfilled. I'm looking forward to heaven because of that mansion that I talked about that I read. Amen. Looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to heaven because I'm going to get to give honor and glory and praise forever to the one who really deserves it. Amen. You know, we talk and we teach and we preach a lot on sin and hell, and we should, because people have to understand their condition and where they're at before they realize that somebody loved them enough to die for them so they could go to heaven. But it sure is encouraging every now and then just to take a little time to talk about heaven. I hope it's been an encouragement to you today, and I hope you know that you're going there. Boy, if not, now's a great opportunity to get it settled. Now's a great time. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to ask you that question, the most important question in life. Be honest before the Lord. You're in church. Please be honest before the Lord. If you can say, Brother Martin, I know for sure if I died right now, I would go to heaven. I have no doubts about that. I can take you to a time and a place in my life where God convicted me and I realized that I needed a Savior and somebody shared with me what I needed to do. I know that I'm going to go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony of the Lord? I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. I see those hands. I appreciate you being honest about that. You can put your hands down. There were hands that didn't go up, and I appreciate your honesty too. But if you're here today and you say, man, that sounds like an awful wonderful place, man. I really want to go there. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know that I'm going to go there. Brother Martin, would you pray with me? I want to know that, but I'm not sure about that. Would you pray with me that I could know for sure I'm going to go to heaven? Would you slip your hand up? I'm not sure about that, Brother Martin, but I want to know that. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all, slip your hand up. There were hands that didn't go up before. If you're not sure, well, the Lord wants you to know that. He gave his son to die for you so you could know that. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? How many of you would say, Brother Martin, boy, I needed the encouragement this morning. I needed the challenge and the encouragement about what we're looking forward to. I needed the reset, the refocus on the fact that there is a heaven and boy, it's going to be a wonderful place. You slip a hand up, that's me, Brother Martin. I needed that this morning. I need that. Praise the Lord. Now here's the last challenge for the altar call. How many of you believe heaven's real? Raise your hand. You believe it's a real place? Then how many of you are trying to tell other people about it? How many of you are being faithful at soul winning? Hey, it was said earlier, I wonder when the last time it is that you've witnessed to somebody, given a tract to somebody, just opened your mouth up to try to share the good news that heaven's a wonderful place. You say, Brother Martin, God's pricked my heart today about my failure in that area. I know I need to be better at witnessing and telling other people about heaven. Would you pray for me? You'd slip a hand up. That's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. I see those hands across the crowd. Well, now's your time to do business with God. We have an altar here. We'll give you opportunity to come and bow before your Heavenly Father. This is between you and Him. That's the only thing that matters. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that you'd bless the altar time. You saw the hands and Lord, you know more importantly the hearts. I thank you for heaven. Thank you so much. I pray that you would help us to keep our eyes set and focused on that. And God, I pray that it would be the great encouragement of our heart. But I pray that because of that, we would be the kind of soul winner that we need to be, the witness and testimony for you we should be. Lord, those, everyone that raised a hand, I pray that you would help them in that matter. Help them to be more faithful to you. Help them to share the truth of heaven. Thank you again, Lord, for the wonderful place that you've prepared for those that love you. If there's somebody here that does not know for sure, Lord, nobody raised a hand, but if there's somebody that doesn't know it for sure, God, help him to come to one of the pastors or myself or somebody. Give us opportunity to share that truth with them, I pray. In Jesus' name, take the time you need.